open the joint interim task force on the state budget process. This is November 6, 2014. We have one item on the agenda. It's actually the final item for this task force. It's the adoption of the final report and recommendations for changes to the state budget process statutes. Before we go to questions, I'm going to go to Mr. Ruttlinger and ask him to give an overview of the highlights of some of the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the task force. I'm Ted Reutlinger from the Legislative Council's office. I put together this 78-page draft.
Eric, can we get Ted a little closer to us, please?
Close enough?
That won't work.
He is right on it, Mr. Co-Chair.
It's the telephone.
It's
a telephone mic. It's not
be louder. What the bill tries to do is implement all of the changes in the chart that the committee voted on and that everybody, I assume, has. I'm not going to go through the bill section by section, but just talk to you generally about what the main highlights are. The first part of the bill is just about the budget process. That goes up through Section 36. The rest of it is just minor conforming changes that are necessary to reflect the other changes that we made in the budget sections. And then the last, Section 76, is the statutes that are actually totally repealed in this bill. So some of the major changes are these. The first thing it does is that it standardizes a lot of references that are used throughout the budget process. Specifically, we've changed everything to refer just to the governor's budget. Throughout all of the ORS, you'll find a variety of different terms like budget report, governor's budget plan, recommended budget, biennial budget, program budget. All of them are now just simply a reference to the governor's budget. A second thing it does is clarify in the statutes that talk about preparation of fiscal impact statements and revenue impact statements. Those sections are updated to really reflect how the process works now so that committees are required to consider those statements before they pass a bill out of committee. It revises the definition in the budget laws for classifications of expenditures, and it ties that definition specifically to changes we made in maybe the most important section of the bill, which is 291.216, which is the statute that talks about what really has to be in the governor's budget report. So it ties the definition of expenditures to those expense categories that have to be reflected in the actual budget. And I'll talk about 291.216 in a minute. It does a lot of updating in the actual process of how state agencies submit their budget information to DAS and what DAS is supposed to do with that. We standardize the term there to agency request budgets. So that's what an agency is asking for when it submits its budget information to DAS. And that phrase is used now throughout ORS when we're talking about agencies submitting requests to DAS related to the budget. It also now requires the agencies to submit to DAS as part of their agency request budget options for a 10% reduction in what it would cost to just continue current programs at the current levels. The bill also eliminates a lot of references to the governor's tentative budget, which were sprinkled throughout and were somewhat confusing, and it consolidates that all now in one section and defines what the tentative budget is. And it now would require DAS and LFO to prepare a tentative budget, which would be based on estimated revenues for the biennium and the costs of continuing things at their current level. And that's really the only reference to a tentative budget that would be left in the laws. 291.216, which is in Section 19, starting on page 14 of this draft, makes a variety of changes to what has to be in the governor's budget, and the most important ones are on page 16. And in new subsection 6A there, it lists the new categories of expenses that have to be included in the budget. We've added special payments. We've also required now that the budget show actual expenditures for the prior biennium and estimated expenditures for the current biennium. And then the new material starting on line 20 is supplemental, new supplemental information that has to be included with the governor's budget, including things like one-time expenditures, personnel expenses, inflation, transfers between accounts, things like that. We've deleted some of the tentative budget language that was in that statute, and we've also added a requirement that the budget now include the total number of positions and full-time equivalent positions that are included in the budget. The full-time equivalent language is the new part. The bill makes several changes to the emergency board statute. There are a couple of those, and the first thing it does is simply make the presiding officers of the House and the Senate the co-chairs of the emergency board, and it also specifies that the co-chairs get to select who the members of the emergency board are. Some other highlights, it changed, there's a statute now that says that DAS can provide services on a reimbursable basis to a select group of four or five agencies, and that statute is changed just to make it apply to all state agencies in the executive branch. We've also added a requirement that DAS notify the Legislative Fiscal Office whenever an agency creates a new personnel position or personnel classification. And there are, I guess, three changes that in discussions with the Legislative Fiscal Office we decided to add to the bill, but I believe they've not formally been approved by the task force. And the first one of those is in section 28 of the bill. And the changes are on page 25. This is the government service expense statute, and the original goal, and I think you voted on this change, was to simply clarify on line 13 that the money for the Legislative Fiscal's Office comes out of monies appropriated by the general fund. But in looking at that law, as we do in Legislative Council, I noticed that there are a large number of inconsistent uses of language here. There are references to administrative expenses in one subsection or paragraph, references to administrative expenditures in another, and we decided that it might be a good idea to standardize the language. And so you can see on page 25 that every reference has been changed to administrative expenditures, in part because as part of the repeals, the task force chose to repeal what appears to be an obsolete statute that it defined administrative expenses for everything in ORS. And so this is one change that the committee or the task force has not yet approved. The second one is in section 31 on page 27 at the very bottom. And that's about vacancies on the emergency board. The old language says that an appointment made to fill a vacancy has to be confirmed by the remaining members of the emergency board, and I understand that that has not been current practice for some time, so we proposed to take that little sentence out as well. The last one is on page 28, in Section 33, where we were amending the statute to take out the obsolete reference to June 30th, 1966, but realized that this statute also requires DAS to get the assistance of the Secretary of State in ascertaining the total amount of general fund revenues, which seemed to be an obsolete reference to the Secretary, and so we proposed to remove the Secretary from that statute as well. So those are the three things that we added to the bill that I understand the task force did not vote on.
Any questions from Mr. Rutlinger? Yes.
Actually, several, but thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Rutlinger, on there's two of these statutes that are being repealed that I'd like to discuss a little bit more. 291, 226, failure to recover a loss of public funds or property. Is that addressed somewhere else in statute then?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, as I understand that statute, it requires the governor's budget to include information about lost or unrecoverable property or money. I don't know that there are other statutes about lost property, yes. I don't know that there's other statute in the budget law that requires a specific line item for lost property or property that's unrecoverable.
So as I understand it then, this is only being deleted from the governor's budget?
Correct, Senator. Okay.
And the second statute was 291-305, meaning of administrative expense. Could you clarify that a little bit?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, all I really have is the information from the task force here, which indicates that that's an obsolete definition that isn't really used, that the term administrative expense is not, under this bill, is not used at all in the budget law anymore. It does show up elsewhere in ORS for a variety of other purposes, however. But for purposes of the budget law, it's an unnecessary definition.
Okay, thank you. And the third question, Mr. Chair, if I may, is, we spoke about this a minute ago, but there's an emergency clause on this bill, and I'm wondering why there's an emergency clause on this bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, the emergency clause was something that I put on the bill for the group to consider because I wasn't sure if you wanted these changes to go into effect immediately or if you wanted to wait until it would normally go into effect on January 1st, 2016. I wasn't sure if any of these changes would be something that DAS and the legislature would want to have in effect between the end of the session and January 1st or not. It's clearly not something that the committee specifically asked for, and it can easily be removed from the bill. It's really a policy choice.
Thank you.
Representative Jensen?
This is Bob.
Hi, Bob. We've gone through the general sort of overview of the bill, and all the changes that we went over were the ones that we had agreed to. Then Mr. Rutlinger went over what were literally, to a large extent, though I think not entirely, but to a large extent, wordsmithing changes where we had used expenses and expenditures in one area where we settled, we used the word expenditures rather than expenses, or rather than use both words. Do you want to give a brief synopsis, Ted, of just those, again, so Representative Jensen hears those.
Sure.
Just those, the things we hadn't agreed to yet, but that were just sort of cleanup language, I would.
The things we haven't agreed to are in Section 28 of the bill, which is the government service charge statute. There were a number of inconsistent usages of terms where I believe they all meant to mean the same thing. And so we've deleted references to administrative expenses, and substituted administrative expenditures so that the same term is used throughout the statute and would have the same meaning in every instance. The second one is in Section 31 of the bill, and that is a statute relating to the emergency board, and it eliminates what seems to be an outdated requirement that the remaining member of the board must confirm the filling of a vacancy made by the co-chairs. And then finally, Section 33 of the bill. Current law says that DAS must get the assistance of the Secretary of State when the department ascertains the total of general fund revenues that were received during the preceding fiscal year. We propose to take out the reference to the Secretary of State because it seems to be obsolete. And so those are the three changes that we've made.
So, Representative Jensen?
Yes.
So where we're at now is we've gone through those three sort of minor changes. Mr. Ruttlinger has done an overview of the changes in the bill, which for one of the attachments that you have basically indicates that those changes were either all adopted by 8-0 votes, or occasionally Mr. Jordan was not here, so he was excused, so they were 7-0-1 votes. Or in the case of the provision that we took out, which had allowed the executive branch to move position to wherever they wanted within state agencies at their discretion, which was a 6-2 vote, with Mr. Rocco and Mr. Warner objecting. I'm kidding. with Mr. Jordan and Mr. Naughton objecting. So we have in place now, we literally only have one item before the committee, and that actually is the adoption of this recommended changes to the budget process. So I'm going to take the prerogative, since Representative Buckley is on the phone and he doesn't have this in front of him. I'll put the motion on the table, and then we can have a discussion to see if there's any further discussion. I move the task force adopt the recommended changes to the state budget process statutes, and that LC 1260 be introduced by the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means as a committee measure for consideration by the 2015 Legislative Assembly. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Thank you. It's my plan to support this. I would like to see the emergency clause taken off of it. On page 4, when you talk about the fiscal reports, we have a situation recently in the last few years, it's called fiscal light, where these just sort of a draft of an idea. And I don't think that really fits what the law says. It says really here that the committee shall have that report before they report it out. Yeah. So, I mean, I would draw your attention to that. I'd be remiss if I didn't speak on page 16, that when we're going through the public employees' compensation expenses, there's no reference again to paid leave. There's also on page 17, we talk about the calculating the net debt capacity and so forth. In recent years, we've, it seems, done a little creative financing, and in that some of, particularly I believe in the lottery bills, revenue bonds, or some of those have been sold for interest-only payments for a while in order to stay under the cap. There's some stuff like that, but I don't know that it can be addressed. On page 25, you have the Legislative Assembly and the courts are state agencies. Mr. Rettlinger might be able to address why that's not a separation of powers problem.
Are you talking about the government service charge statute?
State agency means every state officer, board, commission, and it includes the Legislative Assembly and the courts.
Can you give the subsection there?
It's on 28 at the bottom of the section 28. Sub 2.
Gary, we're kind of lost on the phone again. I couldn't quite hear what the senator was saying.
Bob, I was talking about on page, now I've lost it myself.
Page 25.
Page 25 at the bottom of section 28. State agency means, and this is boilerplate language, it's in the law, it's not a change, but it says the state agency means any state officer, board, commission, department, institution, it goes on and on, including the Legislative Assembly and the courts as a state agency.
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, I'm trying to find where the term state agency is used in this statute. It doesn't look to me from the substance of the statute that the Judicial Department is involved at all. The way it's written now, it's just the agencies that get part of their budget paid for with the government service expense monies that are collected. And so I don't see a separation of powers issue with that, because the legislature obviously creates the budgets for all three branches of government in the legislatively adopted budget.
Okay, I'll accept that. I know the judicial branch as a whole is somewhat offended, I believe, speaking for them, not to them, but that they're considered a state agency instead of a branch of government as meant in the Constitution, is my point.
Yes.
But this is only for, as I understand your answer, this is only for appropriation of money from the legislature basis.
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, yes, it is a way of allocating money that's collected from other sources to pay for parts of the budgets of these particular agencies that are listed here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Judicial Department is not one of them.
The courts?
Pardon?
It said the courts are not the judicial?
They are. But the expenses that are talked about here are for DAS, the Legislative Assembly, LFO, Legislative Council, and the Office of the Governor. Those are the agencies that get government service expense money under this particular statute.
Okay.
Any additional discussion?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I'd just like to ask a process question. And I think this is for Ted, that if this is going to be introduced by the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means, wouldn't they actually have to meet to do that? And I don't believe they're scheduled to meet. So I don't know.
So they're not scheduled to meet for quite a long time, actually. Not until about February.
So couldn't this more likely be introduced by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during session rather than the Interim Committee?
Right, but I don't know if you wanted to wait.
And that's the question I have. How does a committee that's not going to meet pre-session file a bill?
I would want to look at your task force bill to see if it authorizes the task force. No?
Okay. Since it wasn't prepared, it was prepared at the request of the task force and not at the request of the co-chairs. And could it be pre-sessions filed still by the co-chairs since it's already been prepared?
I suspect that it could. It could also be filed by the Legislative Fiscal Office as a bill as well.
Okay. Okay. So you will probably to modify my motion. If that, does everybody hear this discussion?
Not all of it.
Okay. Well, I think what I will do is I will withdraw my motion. And let me confer with committee counsel here. Just kidding.
And members of the committee, Mr. Co-Chair, that was my mistake, and I had assumed that they would be filing other pre-session bills during the December legislative days when they would meet. And so any committee could introduce this measure at the request of the task force, and or it could be pre-session filed at the request of members, or it could be filed during session at the start of the 2015 legislative session. It's the prerogative of the committee as to whether the choice is to pre-session file it via one of the other various interim committees that will be meeting in December, or one of the members who would like to introduce it, or if the prerogative would be to wait until joint committee on Ways and Means meets in 2015, as this will be a measure that will be considered most likely as to not speak out of turn as to where it would be referred, but I would presume that it would be referred to that committee for consideration. Okay. So really, it's at the discretion of the committee as to whether they want to pre-session file it via a member or another interim committee, or to wait until 2015, and that will dictate your motion, Mr. Coach.
Okay. So, with the committee's consent, if there are no objections, I'll withdraw my previous motion. And let me think of how
much. And Mr. Co-Chair, you can simply say be introduced for consideration by the 2015 Legislative Assembly.
Yeah.
And we can make that decision as to whether to pre-session file and or wait until the start and the convening of the February session to file the measure.
Can I go back to, let's see, I'm going to put the motion on the table, then I'll go back to a previous discussion here. If there are no objections, I take my previous motion off the table and substitute the following motion. I move the task force adopt the recommended changes to the state budget process statutes, and that LC 1260 be submitted to the 2015 Legislative Assembly for consideration. Any additional discussion? Now to the one item I wanted to discuss. Ken, do you see any reason we need an emergency clause? And Mr. Naughton, anybody on this side see any reason we need an emergency clause?
Mr. Chair, I don't see where it would either that it would hurt or would necessarily help, because if it does take effect by January 1st of 2016, that's prior to the next governor's budget process. That usually that gets started in February, okay. March. So I think it could wait until then. It wouldn't necessarily hold any. It wouldn't help or hurt to have it on. I'm neutral.
But I would think actually if we removed it now and we found some overt reason why we actually needed it and could justify it, we could always do that during the consideration of the measure in 2015.
That's correct, yes.
So,
the only other dynamic is the emergency board changes, reappointments and things like that, but that's under you have your current authority and probably won't have an e-board meeting.
We haven't been following the law for decades.
And even for the emergency board, that in before January of 16, it's highly unlikely that the board would actually meet. It has to meet right following session to organize, but then our practice has been that to not have it meet until after the even year session.
Yeah.
So even that wouldn't, you wouldn't necessarily need it for those changes, but unless there was an emergency meeting of some reason.
So I put the motion on the table to forward the LC 1260 for consideration by the 2015 Legislative Assembly. An appropriate motion now would be to amend that motion to remove the emergency clause from LC 1260. Would you like to do
that? Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I so move.
Okay. Senator Whitsitt has moved to remove the emergency clause from LC 1260. Are there any objections to that motion? Seeing and hearing no objections, that motion passes. So the motion before you is submit LC's 1260 as with the amendment that was just acted on by the amendment from Senator Whitsitt to the 2015 Legislative Assembly for consideration. Any discussion of that motion? Any objections to that motion? Hearing none, passes. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the work of this task force, and it's been a pleasure. I only have representatives on the phone. Representative Jensen and Representative Buckley, any comments? Or?
No, just thank you, panelists, for their work on this. Much appreciated.
Thank you, everyone. It's actually kind of an interesting dynamic to have legislators on this side and staff on this side. Okay, we're done.